forward to this picture.
Thing that recorder's on is, Kara?
I don't know, I haven't heard.
One way or the other. We can wait a couple, I don't know. The contact I have is her,
I've got both of her.
I'll do that, all right.
Did you need a tape recorder, did you say?
No.
No, it's on.
It's on.
It's on.
Did you roll down, so my train killer?
What's that?
Is my train killer, my view, my train killer. She's always hard on me.
She looks like she gets quite funny.
You already have one, Joe.
You know, she's within 5 pounds of her older sister. They're all bigger.
She hasn't responded to the text, which is unusual. She typically responds pretty quick, so I would just go.
All right, I'm going to call to order the Public Safety Committee for City of Junction City, Tuesday, December 18th, 2018, at 6:30. I'm going to keep it real simple tonight, since we're going to have a new council and a new committee next year. If folks have anything they want on the agenda for next year, then you need to go through proper channels and get it on. Approval of minutes.
We're good to meet.
Yeah.
For the record, present is Rob Stott, who is the chair of Public Safety, and Jack Sumner. Kara McDaniel is not present.
Okay. Wildlife feeding ordinance discussion.
Should we want to approve the minutes from last?
We did.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Consensus.
Missed that.
Yeah.
So, as you were at the last count of the council meeting before the last, had somebody come in and had an issue with wildlife that's roaming around the area and sitting on people's roofs and stuff. Attached, there's a couple of ordinances that are in place in other locations. And I don't know if this is something we wish to entertain. If so, do we want to just mirror what, like, say, Eugene has? Do we think that we want to do something that is unique to Junction City?
I mean, we can always do something like this. The hard part's trying to enforce it. I mean, how are you, you know?
You know, the reality is that all of the city ordinance violations are complaint-based.
Right.
And if we get somebody who's reporting that they're actually out feeding the wildlife, then and they can prove it, you know, by pictures or something else, then we can go out and cite them and continue to presumptively they're going to continue to feed them. And they can be throwing stuff out at night. I mean, unless we set up night vision cameras, we're gonna be really hard pressed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It needs the council wanted this to come before public safety to see what the desire is.
Well, it's just like chickens and bees. You know, we ran through that thing and run the gamut for almost a year before they finally said, you got chickens, if your neighbors don't complain, you can keep your chickens. Well, if you want fresh eggs, go to Safeway. I don't know. That's the safest way to go. But as you said, it's complaint driven. If somebody drives too fast down Quince and I call a complaint, you know, that's a complaint. If a police officer sees it, he stops, talks, sites possibly or not. It's
and the traffic enforcement's a little bit different because it's not, I mean, it can be complaint driven, which actually is going to come to our second piece here,
mm-hmm.
or a second agenda item. But it's going to be problematic to see us chasing turkeys down the street,
yeah.
and going after the people that are feeding them. I mean, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go over to Oakley Meadows early in the morning, like I do with my dog, you'll find feral cats, you'll find turkeys when they're out there, and there are also a few bald eagles, you know. But all those turkeys don't go to waste. And I don't know. Turkey bothered somebody. Why have an ordinance to eliminate him? Because someone would have a complain about a pheasant, you know, it's a wild animal too, and if, well, it's not an ordinance, so you can't do anything about it. So what are you going to say? Any wild animal you can't feed?
Yeah. I don't think feeding the animals is a real issue.
No.
Having chickens possibly could be an issue, but like we said, nobody complains. I mean, that draws rats and whatever else that in the neighborhood. But
and nutrient, I mean, and everything else. Yeah. And like you look at Jefferson, no person shall scatter or deposit any food or other attractants on public or private property with or without the intent of attracting and or feeding wild animals, including but not limited to bears, raccoons, feral cats, wild rabbits, rodents, coyotes, wild turkeys, and deer. Leaving food outside for any purpose, including the purpose of feeding domestic animals and pets in a place where wild animals can access, shall be a violation.
Yeah.
So now you put an ordinance in place where you can't put cat food out.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's needed, but
I don't either.
Yeah.
Okay, so do we just table it then?
Yes.
No action?
I don't see any action to be taken because what you're going to do if a possum comes over, you're feeding grapes. That's a bit facetious, of course, but wild animals are going to show up if they get hungry, just like the cougars out on Territorial Road.
Okay, so that comes to agenda item number 4. Also raised by the same complainant about the wild turkey,
mm-hmm.
wild turkeys, is her, and you know, I think that we actually put radar signs up. I think Public Works put up radar signs on 13th, which capture data, and I got swamped today and I totally forgot to see if we have that data to actually see, to see what the actual speeds are on 13th. Have you seen the sign up out there?
No.
On 13th?
Not for a while.
I drove down there a couple times that I was going to calls and I don't remember seeing a sign. Gary was gonna throw some signs up and I don't know if he did.
I don't recall seeing it.
That's something we can look at. However, with that said, this apparently has come before streets in the past. This same incident from the same complainant where she was requesting some kind of traffic calming devices such as speed bumps or some other kind of engineering to slow the speeds down. I'd have to go back and listen to the tape, but some of the speeds that she's asserting, I believe, are in the upper 40s and 50s. And by this complainant's description, is an hourly or daily basis. Just by the design of the street in and of itself, I find 50 miles an hour, if that's in fact what you said. I don't think that that's accurate. The smaller the street, perceptions can be that they're going quicker than what they are, normally are, and that's where the radar tracking of it to where we can capture exact time and what the speeds actually are would be very useful. So I apologize, I totally, until right this minute, totally forgot I was going to ask Gary about that. He was going to throw signs up. They've been swamped. I don't know if they did. If he didn't, I will get a hold of him tomorrow and have him throw signs up there, and we can actually revisit this in January. But Streets Committee made a very, and I talked to Director, Public Works Director Capping, and he was very adamant that the Streets was very solidly holding the stance that they're not going to do any kind of traffic calming devices such as speed bumps or anything else.
You'd have to put them in every neighborhood. I mean, it's a problem, you know, I mean, it's an issue everywhere, people.
And, but it was council direction that this come to public safety for discussion and possible consideration. If you guys have any ideas, Jack, do you have any?
Well, you know, you used to have the speed sign that you set on the back of the
patrol cars, and we still have that. We still get a bumper.
You know, in fact, I saw it up in, well, this has been months ago, up in Monroe,
right
on the back of the Jeep. And Gary Marks said it slowed some people down. He said,
right,
not everybody.
And the signs that, I'm not sure if you're aware of the signs that I was just talking about having set up there, they actually bolt to the pole. They don't bolt to a car, and it shows what the actual speed is. But it also has a computer chip inside of it where it's actually recording the speeds. Our sign doesn't record.
Oh, okay.
These signs, there's two of them, so you can put them up at either end of the street. And these actually record a history of all of the speeds of the vehicles that go by, and where we can, and it'll graph it out. It'll show what the highest speed is, what the lowest speed is, time of day, day of week. And so that actually is giving us some data to come back to the person who's complaining and saying, okay, we've investigated it, and this is what we have found, that this is not the case. And if in fact it is, then that gives us a time of day that we are most likely to catch somebody, and we can set somebody up there with a radar unit and start running traffic. But her issue is, she was, if I recall, and Rob, you're going to have to refresh my memory, she is requesting traffic calming measures such as speed bumps.
Right.
And it was council direction that it come to us. Do we just table it and no action?
I would table, yeah, until maybe, do like you said, I would talk to Gary again and see if he can get those up so we can get some data.
If you get some data, bring it back to the next meeting and be able to chomp on it a little bit. Because if you go with a speed bump, the neighbor might not like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you've got 10 people in the neighborhood that don't like them versus one that wants them. The majority is supposed to rule. Supposed to, anyway. Not always, but.
Jack, you'd ask for stats. And these are some real rough stats for activity as of this year. The first group up there shows what we have from this date, from January 1st of this year to today, through whatever time they ran this. Total traffic stops, 2,644. traffic citations issued, 1,223. You can have up to three charges on one citation. It's like if you get somebody who runs a red light, they're suspended and they don't have insurance, that's three citations, three charges on one ticket. Oh, so that's that's not 1,223 pieces of paper. That is 1,223 charges. Yeah. 253 arrests. Those are actual in custodies for warrants or domestic violence or something like that. You can also have some of those included in the citation numbers where they were given a citation in lieu of actually being lodged. Total incidents, these are all self-generated. Calls for service, whether counties requesting cover, state police requesting cover, fire departments requesting cover, somebody's reporting their house broken into, their car stolen, shot, somebody shoplifting, and our traffic stops. Up to this point, we're at 8,210 incidents for the year.
And now the traffic stops are included in the total incidents?
Correct.
Okay.
And we're still playing around with this because the system we have, it's we've got some problems with it, but these are pretty solid numbers where we're at right now. If you're going back and looking historically, as I'd mentioned at the last council meeting, we're on track at this point for being at our highest year in 5 years for citations. Mm-hmm. And that's starting 2014, 15, 16, 17, and 18.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know I was at the Finance Judiciary meeting and the judge was there. And she said her court's definitely busier.
Yeah. And that's been the intent, and we just needed to get things from when I came in from where they were. We needed to get things stabilized before we could even begin to start seeing any kind of a difference or any kind of an increase. Mm-hmm. And I'm very pleased. I was very surprised. I'm very pleased at where these numbers are.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, these are in Junction City limits. It
yes.
doesn't include anything that started in our city limits and went, say, to the airport. Well, you know, south of Aubrey. Or north of the Y.
You're saying if it started in our city, it's our case.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
So it could end up in Portland, and if the pursuit started here, it's going to be our charges.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Sure.
Short, sweet.
Is this, if we get a call, and we wind up in Harrisburg. Who is in Linn County, or what? That's Linn County.
Right? Linn County is Harrisburg.
Linn County is in charge of its own duty over there. Does he take it, or do we stay with it?
I had a radio going in my ear. Restate your question
okay.
for me.
If we have something go on, and we go to Harrisburg, say we're calling or assisted.
We're assisting in Harrisburg.
And the Linn County Sheriff comes in, do we back off then or do we stay with it?
It depends on, so this is not something that originates in Junction City.
Right.
Harrisburg, something happens and they ask us to go to Harrisburg.
Right.
So your question is, do we leave the very second that they get there or do we handle the call?
Do you handle the call?
No.
You turn it, you
it
turn
goes, it, over? It goes to Linn County.
Okay, good. All right, also, we're still dispatching for Junction City Fire, right?
Correct.
And we do Junction Coburg Police.
Correct.
We haven't gotten the contracts for that other one you were talking about.
Lane Fire Authority.
Right. Do we have any more information on that?
And yes,
because that's money we need.
Absolutely, and that is moving forward. We're taking the steps that we need from a technical operational standpoint. We're installing the repeaters for the different radio channels. Right now that's the occurring. And we're looking at programming the software that needs to be changed in order to communicate all of the medical calls, which is way beyond technical for this group. But it's when a call goes out, you get what's called an active 911 alert that the CAD system communicates and sends a message to active 911 so people get it, the fire personnel get it on their cell phone. Mm-hmm. And so we're in the middle of programming, we're working with the two vendors to program so our software talks to that software.
Okay. So, in an incident, it's Say, here for example, say we have a stop at Safeway.
Okay.
It involves a outstanding warrant. Do we notify the issuing district, or it just goes into the...
It's ours.
It's ours.
We take it.
We take it. Then we report that arrest or
that's
whatever.
One of these.
Goes into the issuing agency, right? In other words, say it was Linn County that issued the warrant.
Correct.
We pick it up, then as soon as we bring them and...
We bring them to Linn County, and then Linn County has to go pick them up.
Oh, okay. Good. We don't deliver?
No.
Okay.
We deliver to Linn County.
All right.
Or our jail, if they ask us to hold them, you know, if Linn County wants to come down and pick them up, we're not going to drive them all the way to, make them drive all the way to Jeans.
Okay.
We'll take them and just hold them in our facility.
But I've gone to Linn County with a prisoner, and he beat me back to Junction City. Is that still happening?
Yep.
And I went with Larry Larson one day, and I got the nickel tour. When we got back, he was sitting on the doorstep. Why bother?
Linn County Sheriff's Office and Linn County DA's Office, no files on so much stuff. We had a guy that was in a stolen vehicle with a punched transmission that we could see from three cars away. Took him out of the car at gunpoint. He was driving the car, took him out of the car at gunpoint in Bi-Mart's parking lot. He took him and lodged him in Linn County Jail, and within hours we had a no-file notice from Linn County DA's office that they're going to no-file it because they didn't have sufficient evidence to prove that he was in the stolen car. He's driving the stolen car down the street and the transmission is punched, so when you're standing three cars away you can see the transmission, ignition. The ignition is punched out, you can see the ignition hanging out of the steering column, and he says he didn't know the car was stolen. And Linn County.
He just barred.
He just barred it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Meeting is adjourned at, what is it? 7:53.
How about 6:53?
I mean 6:53. Sorry. I'm used to longer meetings.
It's been a pleasure.